Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Views from the Spectrum, A Window into Life and Faith with Your Neurodivergent Child, by Ron Sanderson. Foreword by Daryl Day Treffert, M.D. Narrated by Bob Sauer. Foreword. This is a valuable book written by a very qualified author. It is not about autism. It is a book that is autism personified, as told by Ron Sanderson, through his emergence from his own late-onset autism and as experienced through the life journeys of 20 other individuals on the spectrum. Ron has become a trusted, plain-speaking, practical advocate for better understanding and helping persons on the spectrum develop their full potential. The 20 other individuals on the spectrum have very special skills, ranging from art, poetry, music, and billiard trick mastery to video game design, NASCAR driving, tennis, and baseball. This book convincingly points out that special skills in persons with autism are not frivolous or circus act curiosities. They are instead islands of intactness of various sizes and depth which, when engaged properly, especially by parents who discover, nourish, and celebrate them, can lead to improved communication, socialization, and daily living skills, eventually ending in greater independence. My introduction to autism was 60 years ago when I had the privilege of learning about it from Dr. Lee O'Connor, who first described the condition in 1943. He was a grandfatherly pediatrician who had deep respect for and insights into his patients. He lectured periodically when visiting the medical school in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was a student. I gained from him a great deal of information as well as a gentle bedside manner. It kindled my interest in autism. My first introduction to an autistic child, however, was not quite as gentle. It was a young girl in a helmet who was banging her head on a table so hard that the rafter shook in the house where the child psychiatry department was located. Yet as I looked at her turmoil and disability, it occurred to me that somewhere, however deeply buried and hidden, there must be some islands of intactness which could be identified, approached, and used to turn adversity into opportunity for learning and healing. I then went on to start a children's unit at a psychiatric hospital in Wisconsin. It was there that we made a concerted effort to find that island of intactness in each child. We would coax that island closer to the surface, love it, expand it, reinforce it, reward it, and celebrate it. Slowly, better language, improved socialization, increased daily living skills, and eventually greater independence would emerge. In Views from the Spectrum, that same basic formula is applied. Parents, grandparents, siblings, or other caregivers search for that island of intactness, whatever size and shape. Whenever discovered, they tend and grow that intactness, that is, the gifts or abilities the individual with autism has despite his or her disabilities, to its fullest extent. That search begins with love, unconditional love. And as I advise the many parents who tell me proudly about their child, love is a good therapist too. There are additional elements in that helping equation that this book describes in detail. Patience, untiring perseverance, advocacy, belief, optimism, faith, and hope. In a sense, Views from the Spectrum is really two books. The first is Ron Sanderson's journey from being able at one point to say only one word, mum, after losing his prior normal developmental milestones, and his inspiring trek back, guided by a loving and intuitive mom using art and a toy prairie dog to help him deal with sensory issues, develop speech, and interact socially. The other book within this book is about the unique journeys of other persons with autism toward their more optimal fulfillment. In both cases, this book, unlike so many others, provides many examples of specific what-to-do and how-to-do-it hints, tips, and pearls for families, therapists, or other caregivers to help them reach the buried potential in each of those persons they love. Refreshingly, the book is free of confusing psych-speak and lofty theories. Instead, it uses everyday language and provides practical ideas as a sort of user manual for parents or families so often overwhelmed and bewildered by the exceptional ability and disability they see in the same person. It advises, correctly, to concentrate on strengths rather than deficits and to celebrate what is there rather than regret what is missing. The numerous examples in this book underscore the fact that so often parents, using love, intuition, and creativity, come up with ways to connect with and help their child. That echoes my experience that, in many ways, parents are the real experts on their child. Therefore, professionals need to listen to mom and dad more closely to truly grasp the uniqueness of each individual. Throughout this book, the roles of prayer, belief, and faith are included as important elements in the goal of realizing the full potential in these persons with their curious mix of giftedness and limitation. Overall, the book provides much welcomed help and hope. Today, there is increasing focus on recognizing strengths rather than deficits in persons with autism, and this book contributes mightily to the implementation of that welcome awakening. This strategy is being applied to persons wherever they appear on the spectrum, whether children or young adults, with a goal to add happiness to the help and hope that this book generously provides. Daryl A. Treffert, M.D., The Treffert Center, www.agnesian.com/services/treffert-center. Introduction. Parenting a child with autism is traveling life's journey with a different map. Autism does not come with a manual. Instead, it requires a caregiver who never gives up. Ron Sanderson. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. When I was a child, every year my dad took our family to the Detroit Auto Show. As an inquisitive 7-year-old, I secretly hurried off to view the newest models of vehicles. After about 10 minutes checking out the Corvettes and not paying attention to my family, I suddenly realized I was lost. As panic took over, I fell to the ground and began to cry. Seeing my distress, two kind gentlemen approached me and said, "Son, don't worry, we'll help you." They gently took my hands and led me through the aisles in search of my family. My parents and brothers were already desperately looking for me, and after 10 minutes I finally saw my dad and ran into his arms, wiping tears onto his pant leg. My mom then picked me up and held me tightly. "Your son wandered off and was terrified," the first gentleman said. "You need to keep an extra watch on this one," the second one told them. My parents thanked them, holding tightly to my hands, too shaken to look at any more vehicles. Ironically, as we began to exit the auto show, my dad noticed a 6-year-old girl alone with her head down crying. My dad asked her, "Are you lost?" She nodded her head. "Let's find your mom." He took her hand and led her to the security office, seizing the opportunity to pay the two gentlemen's kindness forward. As we waited for her parents to arrive, I looked at my dad and said, "Do you think her parents left her here and went home?" My dad gently lifted my chin and looked me in the eye. "Do you think I would have left you here alone?" "No," I replied as her parents arrived at the security office, joyfully picking her up in their loving arms. I smiled and gave my dad's hand a squeeze. This memory always reminds me that if parents who love and care for their children will not abandon them, we can trust God will do the same. God understands our fears and worries and will provide for your child, no matter the circumstances. He will never leave nor forsake your family, so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. But not being afraid is easier said than done, especially if you're raising a child with autism. Actress and motivational speaker Holly Robinson Pete, whose son RJ has autism, states, "Almost every parent of a child with autism that I have met shares the same fears and hopes. We pray our teenagers will transition into adulthood with self-reliance, a safe place to live, a job with a compassionate employer. More than anything, we want to be assured that our kids will develop the ability to self-advocate and that they'll find a trusted community. These are basic hopes that are not easy to accomplish for everyone. It's important to acknowledge that not every child on the spectrum will progress as much as I have, but there is perspective and ground to be won in every circumstance. Neurological wiring. Each of us is wired neurologically different. St. Augustine, a 4th century theologian, in his classic work, City of God, bragged about his mentor, St. Ambrose, stating, "Ambrose is a genius. He is able to read in his mind without saying words verbally." In the 4th century, only 5% of the population were literate, and only 10% of those who were literate could read silently. Imagine how different our world would be if we were neurologically wired like people in the 4th century. You're flying in an airplane and everyone is reading his or her text messages out loud. Talk about airing dirty laundry. There'd be no need for TMZ gossip. Sarah Parshall Perry, author of Sand in My Sandwich, wrote, "Our family's flavor of autism is not the head-banging kind, but the 'why is that lady so fat in a crowded grocery store' kind. It is the breathing in someone's face while they speak because he has no concept of personal space kind. The kind we have is a challenge in its own right, different from those of other children on the spectrum because my children look so normal. When I experienced meltdowns as a child, I screamed and banged my head relentlessly against a cement wall, or went completely berserk, destroying everything in my path of terror. Most children are like bottled water. They get frustrated or angry, and maybe a little water splashes out. As for me, I am neurologically wired like a Mountain Dew that's just been vigorously shaken. Watch out." As a young child, I also struggled with regulating my sense of fear and anxiety. When I was 6 years old, I feared our house would catch on fire after seeing the 1974 movie, The Towering Inferno. I didn't sleep in my own bed for 4 years after this horrifying event. Invisible disability. Because autism is sometimes an invisible disability, it's not uncommon to have someone tell you, "Huh, your child doesn't look autistic to me." The proper response is, "I am glad he does not appear autistic to you. Would you like to have him over for a visit when he is experiencing a full-blown meltdown or anxiety attack?" Well, maybe not the proper response, but it's surely the honest one. Parenting is tough sometimes, and it's often hard to remember that just because a disability isn't readily evident doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There's a story I like to think about when people struggle with being empathetic toward those of us on the spectrum. Two wrinkly men in their late 80s are sitting next to each other on a bench. The first one gripes, "I feel so old. My knees throb from arthritis. I have constant back and neck pain. I can barely move, even with my walker, and I have the eyesight of a bat." The second one winks and replies, "I feel like a newborn baby." "What do you mean, Fred? You're nearing 90. You're no spring chicken." "I am bald, I have no teeth, and my diaper feels like it is leaking," Fred replies. While this anecdote is meant to make you laugh, it is also meant to remind us that if we live long enough, we are guaranteed to experience some form of disability, whether it be physical or neurological. Daniel R. Thompson, a physical therapist, shares, "A label that everyone without a disability wears, whether knowingly or not, is temporarily able-bodied. It describes people who are not disabled but live one accident, disease, or event away from disability. The truth is that we are closer to the possibility of disability than we may realize. As you're assisting your child on the spectrum, it might be helpful to ask yourself how you would like to be helped in a similar situation. Figuring out how to care for a child with autism is by no means an easy task, but knowing we might face some form of helplessness in the future can lend a bit of perspective. Deborah Reber, author of Differently Wired, whose teenage son Asher has Asperger's, shares the struggles of raising an atypical child. "Because there is no playbook and there are very few mentors to show us and our kids how it's done and what moving down this road with confidence, grace, and optimism looks like, fears of future unknowns will continue to be a tremendous source of stress raising atypical kids. Sometimes the job of parenting a neurodivergent child seems overwhelming, but there are things we can do. We can trust God, continue persevering, and forgive ourselves when we let our bottles get a little shaken up. Blessings and brokenness. As parents see their dreams for their child quickly slipping away, discouragement and hopelessness seep into their souls. It's hard enough to deal with the death of a dream without the sleepless nights, behavioral issues, doctor appointments, uneducated schools and neighbors, and myriad other struggles a parent deals with on a daily basis. Having a child with severe autism may even cause you to question your theology of God's love. After her son Tim was born with Down syndrome, Minister Stephanie Hubach reprocessed her theological beliefs and came to this conclusion. On every level of every dimension of the human experience, there is a mixture of both the blessedness of creation and the brokenness of the fall. Disability is essentially a more noticeable form of the brokenness that is common to the human experience, a normal part of life in an abnormal world. It is just a difference of degree along a spectrum that contains difficulty all along its length. Disabilities can affect a child profoundly. Autism is no exception. Imagine being unable to communicate with simple sentences or becoming so overwhelmed all you can do is kick and scream because you have no control over your body. For many children with autism, intense applied behavior analysis, ABA therapy, is required to teach basic life skills, such as tying shoes or not biting. Mikey Brannigan won the gold medal for running the metric mile in the 2017 Paralympic Games in Rio, but as a child, he required 6 months of ABA therapy to learn how to walk beside his mother, Edie, instead of always running ahead of her. Edie describes her family's experience as being trapped in autism world. NBC Nightly News reporter Kate Snow asked Mikey, "Does autism make you a better runner?" Mikey responded, "A better person." Just because a child on the spectrum grows into adult doesn't mean that meltdowns magically disappear. In fact, I still have occasional honey badger moments. More on that later. Fear and faith. I know as she was raising me, my mom experienced confusion, fear, and isolation, the dark sides of autism. But her faith in God helped her push past that fear. As Francis of Assisi stated, "All the darkness in the world can't extinguish the light from a single candle. God provides His light and comfort in the darkness of autism and brings us closer to His Son Jesus." Diane Doko Kim, author of Unbroken Faith, Spiritual Recovery for the Special Needs Parent, shares the following about raising her son Jeremy, who has autism. "But had my child been like everyone else, I wouldn't have discovered how passionately I could love, how bitterly I could weep, how desperately I could pray, or how fiercely I could fight. Disabilities demolished my pride and self-sufficiency. It remapped the boundaries of my narrow mind and even smaller heart to grow expanses of sorrow, surrender, and submission." Although our fear for our children and their disabilities is real, we can give thanks that in raising them, we can see disabilities give way to hidden beginnings. Autism has been a paradox for me, both blessing and suffering. As a child, I hated loud noises, yet I was always the loudest child in the room. I graduated from university with a master's degree and perfect 4.0 GPA, but in high school, I could not pass Spanish or geography. I have great attention to detail, recalling childhood memories, yet miss social cues like yawning by disinterested coworkers when I share what I consider my humorous psych ward stories. I speak at more than 70 events a year on autism, yet my supervisor, Dwayne, compares my social filtering system to a child riding a bike barefoot downhill without brakes. Arthur Fleischman, co-author of Carly's Voice, Breaking Through Autism, describes the autism paradox. "Everything in our family was lived on extremes. When Carly was home, her presence was enormous and all-consuming. When she was gone for respite care, I felt empty and hollow. Carly's intelligence far exceeded that of most kids, but her behavior was far below that of the mainstream. The polar extremes were exhausting. One life was too black and white, and I yearned for some gray, some in-between. I hoped that when Carly was away, absence would make the heart grow blinder, and in time I would ache less while she was away, and be more at peace when she was at home. For the time being, we would have to live in a binary world. Carly here or gone. And that would have to be good enough, at least for a little while. The paradox of living between two extremes can be draining, but try not to worry. Remember that God will provide balance and stability, and you will discover beauty in the autism paradox. A story of two barns. A pastor was on vacation in the southern United States and noticed a broken and dilapidated red barn next to a field filled with thorns, thistles, and an anorexic cow. He drove another mile up the country road and saw a beautiful red barn with a garden of red roses and a ripe harvest. The pastor approached the farmer and said, "Wow, God has really blessed you with this beautiful farm." The farmer looked at the pastor, laughed, and said, "You should have seen the farm when it was only God here." Raising a child with special needs requires faith plus hard work and perseverance. St. Augustine wrote, "Pray as if everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on us." In other words, you can't just sit around waiting for God to bless you with good fortune. You and God must work as a team. There were many years when my life appeared more like the run-down barn next to a field of thorns than what you see of me on Facebook or the professional photo on the back of my books that makes me look like an autistic celebrity. What to expect? Throughout this book, I'll share many inspiring stories of faith, love, and the courage of young adults with autism and how they, alongside their families, grow closer to God. These young adults shine as mentors, offering us hope and guidance to persevere with confidence and grace. With each story, you will learn how to experience God-filled moments and receive His guidance in raising your child. The parents I interviewed for this book shared 8 characteristics that empowered their children with autism to thrive and overcome learning challenges. 1. Recognize the issues to be tackled. 2. Focus on your child's strengths and abilities. 3. Celebrate your child's progress. 4. Keep a positive attitude. 5. Advocate fiercely for your child. 6. Learn to see the world from your child's perspective. 7. Never give up on your child. 8. Believe that God has a special plan for your child. As you listen, I want to encourage you to pray and trust your child to God. As King Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Remember that God sees the road ahead of you, and He has an amazing plan for your family. Your child is created in the image of God with a purpose and destiny. As you seek God, He will empower you and give you parenting wisdom. Autism humbled my family and enabled us to grow in faith. It made us who we are. God used our struggles to help other families and bring healing. Don't hide your wounds. They are badges of perseverance. As Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God's view on the spectrum is full of hope when you relentlessly pursue Him in the darkness, confusion, and fear, trusting Him to empower you to raise your child. You will discover God's strength is perfected in your weakness. You'll also discover new friends along the way. I pray this book will provide you with comfort and insight on your journey. Part 1. Where to Begin. Chapter 1. Real superheroes don't wear capes. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. J. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Since you are listening to this book, I'm going to assume that you are a parent or caretaker of a child on the spectrum. You care deeply about that child, and part of what drew you to this book is that I, myself, am on the spectrum. Yes, I'm university educated and work in the mental health field, but my best qualification by far is that I live on the spectrum. And my guess is that what you're most interested in are the hard-won successes my parents and I have uncovered. As a parent of a child with autism and special needs, you understand firsthand the feeling of seeing your child's school office number flash across your phone while you're in an important business meeting. Or you're catching up on email when a message pops up from your child's teacher requesting a conference. Or enjoying coffee with a neighbor when her child runs up screaming because your son pulled out a chunk of her hair. Or listening attentively to your pastor's message on faith and endurance when your daughter's number appears on the monitor, a blatant sign that there is trouble in the nursery. Kurt Warner, a former running back for the Seattle Seahawks and Los Angeles Rams, whose twin sons have autism, writes, "At times I get flashbacks to football games when things were going bad. Sometimes you're getting beaten and there's nothing you can do about it. No matter what you do, the game plan, substitutions, trick plays, you're still just getting a beatdown. What do? You have no choice. You've got to line up and try it again, play after play. The only thing you can do is just keep going back at it and keep trying to do your best. Sometimes you just have days like that. That's pretty much what every day felt like for us for a long time. My journey with autism has been an amazing adventure of faith and hope, where my parents became my superheroes, conquering the seemingly impossible, and I became their superhero in training. My development was normal until I reached 18 months. I began to rapidly regress, losing my ability to communicate with words and ceasing to maintain eye contact. About 20% of children with autism experience a period of regression of previously acquired skills, as I did, while many others have a developmental delay with communication and fine motor skills. Because my mom had two neurotypical children before me, she was quick to realize my development and communication abilities were severely delayed and immediately took me to the family pediatrician. The pediatrician dismissed my mom's concerns, explaining, "Men are like fine wine. You have to give them time to develop. Women are like delicate flowers and blossom quickly." My mom is not one to wait around. She immediately advocated for me to receive speech therapy. As a result, from ages 2 to 16, I received intense therapy. When I was 7 years old, my speech was so delayed, my brother Chucky bragged to his friends, "You've got to meet my brother Ronnie. I think he is from Norway since he sounds Norwegian." For a while, Chucky and the rest of my family were the only ones able to interpret my language. As I entered kindergarten, the Rochester Community Schools specialists wanted to label me as emotionally impaired. My mom refused this label and informed the professionals, "My son's disability is not emotional but neurological." She diligently researched the top professionals for learning disabilities in the area and paid to have me retested. A neuropsychologist from Henry Ford Hospital confirmed that my disability was indeed neurological and defined as autism. When I was diagnosed with autism in 1982, only one in every 10,000 children in the U.S. was so diagnosed. Now, one out of every 54 children is diagnosed, with boys more than four times as often as girls. The educational specialists and doctors warned my parents that I would never read beyond a seventh grade level, attend college, excel in athletics, or have meaningful relationships. But my mom was undeterred by these generalities and instead became more determined to help me succeed in life by developing my unique gifts. She helped me gain self-confidence through creative activities such as painting, drawing, reading, and writing short stories. I now have a bachelor's degree in theology and psychology, earning a 3.9 GPA in the process, and a master of divinity with a minor in Koine Greek from Oral Roberts University. I received an athletic scholarship for track and cross-country my freshman year of college. My wife Kristen and I were married on December 7, 2012. On March 20, 2016, my daughter Michaela Marie was born, and just a couple of weeks later, Charisma House published my first book, A Parent's Guide to Autism, Practical Advice, Biblical Wisdom. My mother's intuition, persistence, perseverance, commitment, and love accomplished unfathomable things. Of course, love doesn't make everything turn out exactly the way we wish it would every time, but it does make unimaginable growth possible. both of my parents chose to focus on my abilities and the talents God had given me, and, as a result, I flourished. They lived by Dr. Temple Grandin's wisdom. In special education, there's too much emphasis placed on
sample complete. Ready to continue?